coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to a Friday edition of the Hagman Report. It is for Friday, April 22nd, 2022. With me is Austin Brower. And I've got to tell you, healthmasters.com, if you, last week I said Eric the Tech, his parents, both came down, were diagnosed with the corona, SARS-CoV-2. I'm going to tell you something, all right? Health Masters to the rescue. Health Masters to the rescue. They are back in full force now. And I want to thank Health Masters for that because they're great people. And I take Health Masters, every single day. I'm going to tell you, folks, get it while you can because you don't know how long you've got. Healthmasters.com, that's healthmasters.com. In fact, this episode is brought to you by Healthmasters.com. And if you do nothing else, make sure you get your ultimate multiple from there, powder or capsule form. It's up to you, but it's great stuff. All right. A lot to talk about with Austin Brower. Biden administration is going to be appealing the federal court ruling and attempting to reinstate federal mask mandates. And you know what? It's a weaponization of the Department of Justice that's already weaponized, but just a different direction now targeting that. We're going to be talking about Have you noticed, we spoke about this yesterday. Have you noticed these warehouse fires? Oh, I'm sure it's a coincidence. Hey, they happen all the time. Don't worry about it. Why are you worried about it? Everything's a conspiracy to you. Okay, whatever. And the rat down south is getting his comeuppance, right? Or the mouse. What is it? Rat, mouse, whatever. I don't know. Anyway. With me, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Austin, I'm going to turn you.
That's not the biggest news.
What's the biggest news? No, no. Oh, no, 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 you don't. Sing it with me. Yeah, thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, man. It's amazing. My wife and I both, our birthdays are a year apart, and
80 strong.
I feel like it. But you know what? And I'm honest when I say this, and this is not really meant to be a sales pitch, but the B supplement, along with the tension factor, the purple sticks, and the ultimate multiple. I'm telling you what, man, I feel better today than I did 10 years ago, and I mean that. So, healthmasters.com. All right, Austin, to you, sir.
Oh, absolutely. And the purple sticks, too, are on sale right now. So, I'll have to send you a couple of those for your birthday present. Make sure you keep us staying strong for the show.
Yeah.
It's serious news, though. Yeah, I was watching a lot of this going on now with them telling the Department of Justice that they want them now to go after and try to basically appeal to overturn this federal judge down here in Florida that has stated that the CDC mask mandate is unlawful. We talked about it on our show. I'm sure you talked about it on your show in detail. So a lot of people already know what kind of happened with it. And essentially, she said exactly what we have been saying for the last 2 years, is that the CDC is not an enforcement agency. They don't have the right to run around and tell people what you have to do in your daily life in order to travel, live freely, walk around, go do anything. You know, they have no right. They have no jurisdiction to handle that. They're a Center for Disease Control. They give out guidelines on certain things that should probably be followed in their weird little world that they live in. And them going on and extending it 2 weeks arbitrarily last week, turning around and at the same time removing the Title 42 from the border control and allowing basically unfettered migration to occur in the United States, but telling American citizens that want to travel on a plane, you still have to wear a mask at all times, or else the FAA is going to eject you from the plane, put you on a no-fly list, and fine you. By the way, a lot of people don't understand, the FAA, from a federal standpoint, got handed this demand from the CDC that essentially if you don't comply, they can pull you off the plane because you're a hazard to health. So this wasn't just you're supposed to wear a mask. People kind of played it off as that. They made a very big deal and a very big case in point about this. Now, the sad part about this is I wish this judge would have gotten this case earlier, because this should have long been away over a year, year and a half ago, once we realized the masks were a joke, that everything we were being told from the CDC was a lie. But now what the CDC is demanding with the Department of Justice, you're exactly right, Doug. This is, again, weaponization of the Department of Justice to not go after anything legitimate, but to actually try to go in now and arbitrarily prove that the CDC does have the right to tell people what they have to wear on their body whenever they travel. Now, here's going to be the million-dollar question with this. If they actually get this overturned in some type of liberal court, what's going to happen? It's probably going to take weeks, if not months, for this to actually go through the system, even if they try to speed it through. So what's going to happen in, say, in 4 to 6 weeks, if some liberal judge, appeals judge, comes in and says, okay, the CDC does have the right to say it. What is the CDC going to come back now and say, oh, by the way, you now have to wear a mask again on a plane, even though everything's been perfectly fine for 4 to 6 weeks. We've decided, we've looked at the science, and we know what's best for you, and you have to wear a mask. I told everybody on the show, and I've told multiple of my friends today, I said, here's a very strong line in the sand right now. We have a Florida judge, federal judge, who has stated it is illegal for the CDC to state everybody has to do this and people have to follow it. It was illegal the entire time. If the Department of Justice gets a judge to come in and try to overturn this because they have a compromised judge, and people actually turn around and start complying with wearing a face muzzle on their face when they travel again, this is a giant algorithmic test. They are going to want to see if people are actually this stupid and this compliant, and they're actually going to go along with this. I have told everybody repeatedly, I have not flown since 2018, 2019. But anyways, before all this stuff started, I have plans now to go to November out to Las Vegas for the SEMA Auto Show, the biggest auto show pretty much in the world. I got a lot of companies I work with out there. I'm going to go see a lot of the new stuff that's coming out. And I have booked plans to go out there now that the mask mandate is over with. If they do this, I will still keep my plans in the play, and I will either cancel them in the last second if they're truly still trying to eject people if they get this overturned, or I will go and basically do one last hoorah and see what happens on the flight and basically if I get ejected or not. So we're going to find out what's going to happen, but I'm glad to see this Florida judge did this. But the very fact now, see, the CDC and the Biden administration, they really have no choice. They've doubled down on this asinine mask mandate for so long. If they let this go out into the water and say, okay, well, we're just going to kind of let it go now and pretend we never really did this, they're going to show the American populace that it was completely and totally erroneous when we don't have cases spike through the roof when everybody starts traveling freely on their way without a mask on their face. So they have to now basically double down and try to throw a Hail Mary to preserve any remnants of respect that they may have left, which in my opinion, they have none. I mean, we got the bumbling buffoon shaking hands with the air and walking around in circles like he's lost puppy on stage when he gets done speaking. There is no respect left in this administration at all. And then you got the Jan, basically the moron at the head of the microphone, who's talking about, oh, well, this isn't okay. We have to make sure that the CDC has the proper power to enforce things once the next pandemic happens. And I'm like, they have the power to enforce things? What power did Congress grant the CDC to enforce people to wear face diapers on their face that makes them recirculate their own air that they're breathing and increase bacterial pneumonia chances? Oh, that's right. They don't have any of it. So we're going to have to keep a close eye on this. I highly encourage everybody continue to stand up and stay strong. This went on way too long. Now that it's over with, we have to make sure it stays over with and we never let this mistake happen again. Remember, this already occurred in 1918 and 1919 during the Spanish flu, mainly out in California, where a lot of the very liberal left individuals during the Spanish flu started to bring mandates in the city stating that you had to have a mask on your face when you were basically in public areas. Law enforcement was wearing masks. There were a couple cases where they're actually detaining people for not wearing masks. You can look this up. This is literally right at 100 years ago. This happened in California till finally they overturned it out there and said, listen, you can't just start telling people that you're going to arrest them or detain them because they're not wearing a big, you know, diaper on their face. People were putting cotton swabs in their nose. They were wearing big beak masks. They were putting, I mean, it was really, really stupid. And so again, this is what happened 100 years ago. And as they say, history repeats itself. It didn't happen again after that. Even when there were other sicknesses and ailments and viruses that popped up, they never did that again. they tried it 100 years now later, because everybody that experienced that back then is no longer really alive with us to this day if they were actually adults back then. So again, be very, very aware of what they're trying to do from a psychological standpoint to you, and make sure we continue to stand up for what our beliefs are. And people say, well, Austin, it was just a mask. I still have people say that. And I'm like, no, it's not, bro. The level of symbolism and degradation that they did to the American population through this, and seeing people getting arrested, stripped off planes, taken out and detained. I mean, just it was so far invasive. Remember, this is the same thing that started in April 2020 when the paddleboarder paddleboarding out in the ocean by himself out in California was arrested by the police in a boat because he was outside paddleboarding by himself with nobody else around him, because they stated that the beaches were closed. And everybody pretty much across the entire country started going to beaches and stating, no, you're not going to be able to tell us we can't go on the beach. I mean, they did the same thing in Daytona, and we basically went out there in May of last year. It absolutely had a blast on the beach and showed everybody videos and photos, and people all across the country. Excuse me, it was May 2020. And people were sending me photos. I can't believe you're at the beach. They're allowing you out there. I'm like, dude, these are public beaches that we pay property taxes to use, that everybody on this road pays property taxes to use. It's like saying you can't have access to the ocean. It's not yours to determine you don't have access to the ocean. This is the everybody's ocean, so to speak. So again, when you start seeing them trying to push the laws and push the lines, it's not because they're doing it for your safety. It is 100% of the time they're doing it to see how far they can push the narrative and how far people are willing to comply with completely and totally illegal, erroneous mandates that are not legitimate whatsoever, Doug. That's my stance on this.
And very quickly to add to that, I believe you're correct. This, by the way, is not about masks themselves.
No.
Okay. The CDC, DOJ, or DOJ moves to appeal this. I think it would be the 11th Circuit Court. They're going for this absolute authority by unelected officials who are essentially running the country in in a very authoritarian manner. So, and remember, folks, no one said you cannot wear a mask on a plane. They're saying you must wear a mask on a plane. Two separate things. In they're forcing you to by administrative edict and using the weaponized court system to do so. You're absolutely right. This is bigger than masks, and the only way to win in this is not to play or civil disobedience or both. Go ahead.
100% correct, and you're very accurate on that. These are two completely different options. If you have the CDC say, hey, we recommend that you wear a mask on the plane, just a recommendation, totally cool with that. It's free speech. They can say whatever they want. If somebody says, I want to wear a mask on a plane, totally cool. You want to wear a mask on a plane and look like a dog? Not my problem. Don't really care. If you say you have to wear a mask on a plane or else you are not allowed to fly, that is a completely different scenario, because now you're stripping somebody away from their ability to travel freely on their way if they do not comply with what you are telling them. Very, very different. And there was a quote from the public health law faculty director, O'Neill Institute for National Health, Lawrence Gostin. And in this article, he's talking about how they absolutely have to get the Department of Justice to overturn this. And he makes a quote and he tells us exactly what they're trying to do. This is what he says. If the CDC can't impose an unintrusive requirement to wear a mask to prevent a virus from going state to state, then it literally has no power to do anything. Well, he's exactly right at the end of that. They have no power to do anything at all. And you're not stopping a virus from going state to state, because last time I checked, viruses don't travel state to state. They just fly around. They're viruses. It's viral particles. And when you start saying that it's an unintrusive requirement, it's not unintrusive at all. They've already shown numerous documentations how unhealthy it is to recirculate, and basically how to breathe in through a mask that in most cases gets dirty. These aren't personal protective items that are being trained by individuals with OSHA or in healthcare workers. Most of these masks people put in their pockets all day. They throw them on their car seat. They hang them on the rearview mirror. They recycle them all day long. This is 90% of the people you see wear them, even dirty ones. It's disgusting. There is no health benefit to wearing a mask whatsoever. There is no health protection to wearing a mask whatsoever. If you want to run a double can A50 with biological filters on it, by all means, that's probably going to be pretty effective. especially if you're basically making sure you're covering up your ears and your eyes are covered with the mask. You may be onto something there. But this concept of wearing a little paper mask over your face, no, not at all. Also, two other good news coming out of Florida, because we basically have been chock full of good news this week.
I'm secretly living in your garage and you don't even know it.
But yeah, I know. Come over and hang out in the man cave. You can hang out in the shop.
There you go.
We'll chill out and make fun of Disney, make Disney jokes. they have now, looks like it has gone through the Senate. Everything has passed with the bill to drop the Reedy Creek Corporation status in Florida of Disney World. And DeSantis has stated that he will basically sign this. Looks like I froze up on there. Are we still hot?
Oh yeah, we're good. We'll have Health Masters panel up there shortly. So go ahead.
No worries. Yeah, sometimes we get a little visual issue. So to go back to this though, I've told everybody this before and remind everybody. Disney World in 1967 got approved as a special district through the Reedy Creek Corporation. They were already very shady and hacked off the large percentage of Central Florida because they went in to basically protected wetland area and swamp area and property, a lot of it that wasn't really even worth much, and started going in with dozens of different corporations and buying up huge plots of land that were all connected to one another. A lot of the large landowners, specifically agricultural and cattle owners that were down here at the time, did not want a theme park going in their backyard. So they specifically stated they were not going to when basically the rumors came about. Well, what happened is you started to have these smaller corporations coming in by smaller tracts of land at a time, and nobody really thought anything about it. Disney, on average, paid 6 cents an acre for the property that it bought in 1967. 6 cents an acre. They now have over 25,000 acres. So as you can see, they had an extremely good return on their investment with that purchase. That being said, they told the state of Florida that they were going to bring in immense amount of money and basically tourism with what they were going to build, but it was going to cost an immense amount of money to build Walt Disney World, Magic Kingdom. And they were right. There was a lot of money to go into what they were doing with the underground facilities and the railways and all the stuff they were doing. So the state of Florida voted and they agreed to allow them to have the Reedy Creek District Corporation, which made Disney World and all their property an island status. They govern themselves. They don't pay property taxes. In fact, most people don't even know this, the district, special district that they have allows them to build any new infrastructure and pay minimal impact fees for such construction without any approval of local planning commission. They act as their own country, their own government. They can go in and say, we want to go in and we're going to start dredging out another protected wetlands. Basically, Swift Mud doesn't do anything about it. They'll dredge it out. They'll build and basically pay some minimal impact fees. Then they'll go in and build an entire another resort right there and have to get zero approval from any local planning or building commissioners whatsoever. They use their own in-house inspection system. They do whatever they want. They pay no property taxes. And I've said this for years. Most people didn't understand. And I said, you got a company globally that's in China, that's in California, that's in Florida, and they're making roughly $80 billion a year, but yet they're exempt from paying anything to the state of Florida, while all of us still get taxed just immensely with property taxes down here in Florida. And I've told everybody before, I'm not for taxes. I think taxation is theft. And however, as diametrically opposed as I am to a lot of this stuff, it does cost money to have nice roadways. It does cost money to actually have built infrastructure. So I do understand the necessity for some of it. So if we're getting taxed and we're getting waxed and we're having to get paid all this, then Disney needs to be paying in on their 25,000 acres. And they're estimating anywhere between 200 to 800 million that is going to be charged to them now in every single year. And they will be changing and adapting and basically doing this, because a lot of people don't realize they have their own like government system. They have their own restrictions. They have their own power plant. They have their own fire department. They have their own police department. Orange County PD is a guest on their property. They ask them to be there. They do not come there on their own free accord. Disney handles their own security if they want. They ask Orange County Sheriff's Department. That way, if somebody is arrested, Orange County has to pick up the pieces and then take them to Orange County lockup, because Disney doesn't really want to have a giant jail facility on their premises, even though they do have detainment facilities, I found out, if somebody's extremely unruly and they have to wait for basically transport to go to jail. This is huge now because they are now saying that Governor DeSantis is going to sign this into law to remove this exemption status. This needs to be a wake-up call to everybody that wants to continue to talk about how you have to be woke and you have to allow these things to happen. The whole beauty of a republic, the whole beauty of a constitutional republic is the ability to speak freely. If somebody wants to speak freely, that's absolutely their right. But it's an open platform. You don't have the right to say, well, it's rules for me and not for thee. I get to promote my cross-dressing, transgender, perverted ideology to everybody. And not only do you have to accept it, you have to hold it and embrace it and kiss it and love it. And you have to tell me how much you love it and how much you want me to promote it even more. And you cannot say anything to me about how you do not like it, you do not approve it, and how you don't want me grooming your kids. That's wrong. That's illegal. That's hate speech. So you can only like what I say. You cannot disagree with anything I say. That is what the woke left mob culture has been getting to be doing over the last couple of years. And it's adamantly ruining this entire country the longer that people go along with it. So when Disney wanted to promote that they're about this culture, this needs to be a wake-up call saying, hey, listen, you can do this stuff if you want, but believe there's going to be consequences to it. And I'm very glad to see this happening over at the rap world or whatever else anybody wants to call this.
You know something? I didn't know the information you gave. I did not know that 6 cents an acre, the lack of taxes, the exempt status, and So what is the position now, if you know, of Disney executives as well as the supporters of the grooming movement? And I've used that term deliberately. I mean, what's their reaction to this? Is it like, oh, you can't do that? Is it outrage or what?
Well, yeah. Well, they at first they were very much opposed to it, saying, hey, listen, you know, we're Disney World. We kind of do what we want. And one of the representatives, I forgot his name, and maybe Matt Gaetz, maybe another one, he basically said, because a lot of this propaganda has been coming out of Disney, California, because that's where like the main headquarters is over there for Disneyland. And so he said, we're not going to be beholden to California's propaganda, basically their agenda. This is Florida, and we're going to remind Disney World that they are a guest in Florida, and they're not going to try to overturn our laws, and they're not going to try to change what the vast majority of Americans, Floridians, support. The executives have been eerily quiet on this right now. I'm sure they're going to try to fight this. The problem with it is they don't realize this is an exemption status that Florida gave them that was kind of like a bone, like, okay, we're going to kind of take care of you on this. They never really thought, I guess, that the governor was going to sign it away and basically take it away from them because they've had it for so long. Because you got to remember, like you said, most people don't know any of this about Disney World because it's done in the 60s. I mean, that was a long time ago. Most people don't even know that law existed back then because most of the people that are involved in that law that were old enough to be involved in that are either dead or extremely old by now. And so the executives and everyone are kind of like, okay, well, whatever. If that's what they want to do, they want to play this game. And sure enough, that we can do that, and they can continue to play their game. However, their stocks are declining. There's a large percentage of Americans now that I've been watching on social media trending that are saying, we're done. We're not renewing our passes. We're not going to go along with this. We're not going to continue to give money to a company that not only has a very strong homosexual perversion grooming agenda, they're blatantly bragging about it now. They're not even trying to be low-key under the covers. They're blatantly getting in everybody's face and saying, it's our not-so-secret gay agenda, to quote one of the executive producers. So I'm sure there's going to be some people in the top heads of Disney, especially the ones that are really about their money and strictly about their cash and really could care less about the agenda, because every corporation always has a few of those executives that they like their money. And they're going to be sitting there. I guarantee there's going to be some board meetings going, all right, who wants to keep running their mouth and who wants to get fired? Because this isn't going to be okay. Now the fact that we're going to be eating probably at least $500 million or more now in taxes we got to pay out of Florida to basically do all this. Now what they should be doing, this is what DeSantis should be doing. I really wish he would do this, is that he needs to take a lot of this newfound income that comes in, and it needs to be going and helping out basically homeowners that are getting raked over by homeowners insurance, and also needs to be expediting roadway infrastructure for the massive influx of people that are moving to Central Florida, because the roadways that are going in right now are moving at a snail's pace, and they're not going to be nearly enough to be able to do what we need to do. $500 million would absolutely build some significant roadways very, very quickly, especially if they got DOT approval on them in a timely fashion, stating that it was basically a necessity for the amount of growth that has come into Florida over the last 2.5 years since this COVID thing started. And so that's what I really hope. If he's a really good governor, he's going to bring this in and say, hey, listen, guys, you want to basically use this money adequately, we're going to use it properly to support the infrastructure in the state of Florida that is completely and totally abysmal right now, considering how many people have moved here. So we'll see how that goes. We'll play it by ear and watch. And we're also going to see how Disney fights this. If they try to go against it, I don't know if they have a play, though, or what they can actually do about this, because this was kind of a gift given to them, and you can't really fight a gift, Doug.
That's true. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. A lot of great information. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. That is healthmasters.com. They also have, Austin and his dad also have a radio show. Folks, you know this, right? If you're just tuning in for the first time ever and hearing Austin Brower, what a treat that is for you. You can listen to them every weekday, 3 and 4 p.m. Eastern time, as well as on Sunday. Just go to healthmasters.com and click on the link to their program. Go ahead, sir. Keep going, man. A lot of stuff.
Yeah, one thing that I really wanted to bring up, you know, the last month I talked about that giant Walmart warehouse fire. There's been numerous instances occurring in the food markets and a lot of these companies that are producing food that has been very odd to me. We talked about that one article that was talking about up in the Northeast. There were 5 million chickens that allegedly had to get butchered. I don't know how, if they were really going to do that to all of them. That's what they stated in the news article. They said that they had basically the bird flu. I don't know how you test 5 million chickens with a, I guess with these a PCR test, because those are the accurate ones, right? And so we're watching a lot of these things. Even over the last summer, last fall, we saw a lot of natural events that took out significant amount of people or people's infrastructure and food infrastructure that was going on. And what's interesting about this is Azure Standard Warehouse that is basically in the defer area in the United States, it burned to the ground on Monday. And what's interesting about this is they said the vegetable oils, the olive oils and the avocado oils and the canola oils really, really kept the fire going even further. But what's also interesting about this, a lot of people don't realize, is that this company is one of the main distributors, the main independent distributors in the United States for natural, organic, and non-GMO foods, as well as home health, outdoor garden-related products. Now, they're still stating that they have absolutely no idea how the fire started. They're doing an investigation into it, and they are saying, though, that it was a total loss. Everything in the warehouse has been completely and totally destroyed, and they've now had to try to move operations to other warehouses to start basically trying to catch up for everything that's occurring. The reason why I bring this up is you now have one of the main directors in the IMF talk about the food and water crisis is coming to an issue because of inflation, and basically supply chain issues are starting to become a significant problem all across the world when it comes to food. The reason why I keep bringing this up is this is kind of like one of those things in the story of Joseph in the Bible, when it talks about the dreams and you're going to have 7 years of plenty and you're going to have basically 7 years of famine. I personally think this stuff is being done intentionally to give everybody a heads up indirectly and subliminally. And basically, after this, it's pretty much on your own. In every single country that's ever collapsed, the main thing they continue to do is use as a tool is food. Food's always used as a tool. That's why I continue to encourage everybody, make sure you're stocked up on any supplies you need. And I don't want to sound like a broken record on that, but I've told this to literally everybody I know when they ask me about it. I'm like, dude, I don't care if you want to buy the organic buckets we have or the meat buckets, the 15-year meat buckets that we have. If you want, we got them. If not, no big deal. But get something, man. Get some beans and rice or pasta or something you know how to cook with purified water in the event that you need food, especially if you have kids, because children are the most precious assets you have. And when you start having children that start getting hungry, people start getting desperate. And desperate people do desperate things. I personally think if the vast majority of Americans continue to stay self-sufficient, we could weather just about any storm, because Americans, I mean, the early phase of Americans were always extremely persevering. I mean, all the time. We're always prepped for everything. We can push through anything. I mean, look at what we went through all the way going from Texas to the Oregon Trail out to Utah and Montana and all that. I mean, that was crazy what a lot of those people endured, because they wanted to have freedom. They wanted to have peace. They wanted to have the ability to do whatever they wanted to do. And so you have that heritage ingrained in the United States, but yet this country has become such a, you know, just-in-time service aspect where we think we can just snap our fingers, put a credit card in, and it's delivered to our front door the next day. And for the most part, a lot of stuff is, you know, at least within a couple days, and as is right now. And it's going to be a very, very big slap in the face, I think, to a lot of people that do not have any type of preparations, where they come in and they basically go, wait a minute, they don't have this at Walmart. Well, this is out. Kind of like what's going on with the baby formula right now and limiting the baby formula. And people are going, okay, well, where do I get it now? Well, you know, you probably should have had a couple little backups. And it's, well, once you start seeing it being brought up in the mainstream media news and you start seeing videos of people going in and stockpiling foods off shelves, that's when you're going to see an absolute run. And that's when you absolutely need to make sure you're stocked up on whatever you need by then. Because I've told everybody, the perfect prime example of this was the toilet paper crisis in 2020. And ironically enough, it was ended up being a big deal in some areas for no reason at all. And it was simply because people heard, we're going to quarantine, people are getting sick, and people go, okay, what do I need? I need some food. I need this. I need this. I need this. I need toilet paper. Well, then everybody started buying extra toilet paper. Well, then you had people that saw other people buying extra toilet paper, so they wanted to buy extra toilet paper. Then finally, by the time it was done, within a few days, you had people with giant shopping carts filled halfway up above their head, pushing 2 and 3 carts full of toilet paper, stockpiling it, which is asinine. It's probably 5 years of toilet paper for, you know, a 2 or 3 person household. Well, then if you remember, a lot of places all across the country, nobody could get paper at all. You go to most places, they tell you, you get like 1 packet of rolls. This is what's going to happen with food once people start realizing that not only is the value of it and the price of food going to start going up exponentially, you're going to start seeing videos surface of people stockpiling canned foods and stored foods that they can actually keep for a significant period of time, and they're going to start buying them up. And then other people are going to start doing it, and then you're going to start seeing it talked about in the mainstream media and social media. Then everybody's going to start running to the store. It only takes a few minutes for a horde of people to go into a store to clean out the vast majority of foods that can actually be stored on the shelf. A lot of the stuff like ice cream or frozen food, people may take a large portion of that, but the problem with that is it's not real sustainable unless you got monster deep freezers that you can stuff everything in. Food that can sit in a bucket or in a Mylar bag or in anything that's secure that keeps rodents, rats from chewing into it and stores in a closet is the best kind of stuff to have, because it doesn't matter if you have a power outage or not. You can still turn on a burner with a propane. You can still light a campfire or an outside fire. And this is why I've always told people as well, it's very good to have multiple avenues of food, whether you have some backup bars, whether you have a few MREs, whether you basically have, you know, the organic food buckets, having backups, and then also too, having either a small stove or a propane stove or something that you can use to cook that food in the event of a power outage. Just food for thought on that, because as I keep seeing a lot of these random warehouse fires all across the country and random events that are occurring, huge recalls on certain food items, I find it very, very weird that this is happening all at the same time we're seeing this monster inflationary rate hit the market and more staple items are either unattainable or becoming very, very expensive, Doug. What do you think?
Man, I'll tell you what, you hit a home run with that. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, folks, while we still have time, make sure you get, even before precious metals, maybe at the same time with the other metal, which is brass and lead, I suppose. Make sure you get food and water, and think about the stove. And you know, speaking of water, I want to just say this. One of the more important things, I think, when we're talking about our health and water, not necessarily in an emergency situation, but for right now, is your water distillation devices, your water distillers. I'm going to tell you, folks, I've never had a water distiller like the Health Masters. It's one of the best things. I use it every single day. I've used it every single day for the last, 5 years. And it is phenomenal. Add a couple of drops of minerals to it. But you don't want to be drinking the stuff that comes out of your tap for a lot of reasons. So that's just one other thing to think about in your preps. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, you're exactly right when it comes to that, because so many people, I think, kind of take it aside of like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I can just go to the store and buy water. I can just use tap water. Tap water is unbelievably toxic in most cases. The amount of fluoride and chlorine and other contaminants that are in it just by itself is not something that's very good for the human body, especially if you're drinking copious amounts of it. That's why at the very least, you know, having a filtration system that really does minimal at best. The best thing to do is water distillation, especially with what people have been talking about the last week, more contaminants in the water supply, people getting sick from water. It's really, really crucial. And that's why I have a lot of friends. They'll go out, they'll buy like the 2 and 3 gallon, like BPA free plexiglass jugs, same ones that I bought. You buy them online. They're not too expensive, but they're nice because they don't break very easy if you drop them on like a glass jug and they're not as heavy. And basically fill them up. You got a 2, 3, 4 gallon jug, fill it up with water, throw a little bit of colloidal silver in there, throw a little bit of the Aqua Trace minerals, and then you turn around and essentially you got purified water now for pretty much an indefinite period of time. And then a lot of times I'll grab one when I go on a trip or something to have as a backup source if we run out of water while I'm away from my home. So I got water at the time, and making sure, because a lot of the food, you need water to cook it. A lot of water, you got to have it to drink it. Where the human body within about 3 days starts shutting down without water. Water, going without water doesn't work. They've tried it in numerous studies, numerous research. It doesn't work. You can go without food for a little bit, but going without water doesn't work. And so that's something that everybody needs to be sure of. And then, of course, you know, some backup filtration if you have to go that emergency route. As we're starting to see things get more and more difficult to get, it's ironic to me. I saw this article earlier now. You know, they've been talking, this big push again of trying to, you know, we're going to ban ghost guns. Well, what that means is they don't want law enforcement, or they don't want people going out and being able to buy their own weapons or build their own weapons, which is completely legal in the United States. And now it has come out. Now, if you saw this earlier this week, Doug, the U.S. officials now saying that the White House has almost zero ability to track the massive cache of weapons that they've been sending to Ukraine, including over $3 billion in armament they've already sent them, with I think another $12 billion is supposed to be on the way. They said, we have a fidelity of short time for when it enters the fog of war. After that, we really don't know where it goes. And, you know, I just started laughing when I read this article, Doug, because you have the bumbling buffoon in our country right now telling everyone, we don't even have the right or ability to make our own guns. We need to ban assault weapons. We need to ban weapons that are simply semi-automatic AR-15s. We need to ban high capacity, which that's standard capacity AR-15s. And basically, we need to ban the law-abiding citizens. But right now, we're going to be giving Ukraine billions of dollars in weapon platforms, and we don't even know where it's going to go. We don't know if they're actually selling it to other countries. We don't know if they're trading it with Russia. We don't know if they're transporting it back down to Pakistan and India or Ukraine or Poland or sending it to Afghanistan or selling it to the Chinese. We have no idea. We're just sending them lots of free weapon systems because, well, they deserve it. And wherever it goes, who not knows? We'll just find out and we'll see. And I just got such a kick almost from a comical standpoint when I saw that the other day, because I was sitting there thinking, it's so funny to me how again, we have this concept of rules for me and not for rules for thee and not for me, to where we're criticized and lambasted in the United States for having a Second Amendment in the Bill of Rights that is ingrained as a right in the United States for us to be able to own firearms. I don't remember anything in the Second Amendment where it talks about a weapon has to have a serial number on it. I don't remember anything in the Second Amendment that talks about you can't build your own firearms. I don't remember any of that. I must read wrong portion of the Second Amendment. And ironically enough, the same administration out of the other side of their mouth is handing billions and billions of dollars in weapons to a country that we're not even allies with in NATO. We simply use them as a cash cow money laundering facility for the unbelievably corrupt administration that we're looking at right now. Do you find that just as sickly ironic as I do?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Continue, please. Because if I caught – no, I can't. Go ahead. Go ahead. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. Won't do it. Wouldn't be prudent.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy as far as when you start seeing this stuff now, and more and more, though, it's good because not good in that sense, but it's good in the sense that I'm so excited to see more and more people finally having enough and being boisterous. And it makes me think like your show and our show and people around have finally started to listen and make a difference. I saw an article the other day that now saying that Netflix shares have dropped another 25% as the service loses over 200,000 subscribers. This is in the wake of Disney World also shares continuing to drop off now significantly over the last year. And what we're seeing with all the stuff I talked about with Disney earlier, I've said it for years and I say it with all sincerity because I do it myself. It is so important that we vote with our dollars on everything right now. There is no excuse to be looking at a company that you know you're diametrically opposed and they are diametrically opposed to you and you're handing them copious amounts of money. The same thing goes for supporting a lot of these corporations like Amazon that is goes in now and they're raising up sellers another 5%. They're calling it inflation gas fee of what they're charging the sellers, not the consumer, the sellers. And this is why I've told people, I don't support Amazon at all. Amazon, the only reason it's as big as it is because the whole backside of Amazon is a military industrial complex supplier. That's how they've made so much money, not off selling discounted toothpaste and books and t-shirts and clothes. This one thing nobody has understands. This is why they're making so much cash. This is why when you support companies like that are local or online companies that are speaking the truth, it makes a world of difference in actually supporting the economy. Amazon does not care about its employees. There's been horror stories at the yin yang I've brought up of employees that have been terminated that have talked about how horrible the working conditions are. I personally know people that have worked inside Amazon warehouses. And the only reason they stay is because Amazon pays them halfway decent, okay pay, and they don't really know what else to do because Amazon comes into an area and it sucks all the air out of the room. All the small mom and pop stores start disappearing. All the local stores that sell similar items start disappearing, and the warehouses start putting in their prime trucks. They start paying drivers to literally do same day and next day delivery, and this is why there's now a warehouse on 27 about 15, 20 miles from us. They put an Amazon warehouse right outside of Auburndale off I-4, and there's another one right in Lakeland. There are literally three Amazon warehouses within 10 miles each of one another. They're doing this all across Florida right now. And there's Florida legislators that are actually coming in now starting to say, what are we looking at with Amazon here? Because they're going to start turning into a Floridian monopoly. They're going to start overtaking all the business in Florida because they have such a big pocketbook they can. And it doesn't matter about their predatory pricing. Nobody regulates their website because it's considered a private company. They go in and they'll see somebody that basically is selling something on there for $20. The cost on it may be $15. Well, Amazon turns around and charges you 20% to sell that item on there. So that $20 that you just made off selling that item, you now only get $16 for it because Amazon steals the $4 from you. Then you got to pay for shipping. Well, what Amazon will do is they'll come in and they'll take the same item and they'll sell it for $19 because they know you can't support it anymore because you're losing money selling it for that cheap. That dealer eventually stops selling the item. They go out of business or they stop selling it. Amazon then turns around and has, again, another monopoly on that product. They do this all the time. They are the textbook poster childs for predatory pricing. This is why I've been so diametrically opposed to them completely. And I encourage people, support local companies, amen, support online companies that continue to do stuff as far as that are absolutely going out and saying, hey, listen, we stand up for people's freedoms. We stand up for people's rights. There's so many companies now that I've seen do that. And there's been many companies I've stopped supporting, especially the ones that have big giant signs on their door. No firearms allowed on the premises whatsoever. I'm like, you come to my office, I have a sign on my front door right at the top. All legal concealed carry firearms are allowed in this office with a big green circle around firearms. That's because I respect people's rights to lawfully carry. And if I know somebody can legally carry a firearm, I don't have a bit of problem with them using carrying a firearm in my place as long as they know how to actively keep safe with it. And that's why I encourage people all the time. If with the way things are going right now, it is absolutely crucial you have some type of weapon tactics training if you have not already done so. Sitting in and going in and buying a gun at the store and then basically stuffing it in your pants like you're Rambo and walking around because you got a permit to do so in Florida. And I'm speaking mainly to a lot of the people that are out of staters here that are starting to apply for this because I've heard now the concealed carry permitting has gone through the roof in Florida, of people moving down here from out of states that would not normally allow them. And I'm totally fine with that. I just expect him to get adequate training to know what to do, because there's no doubt about it. As we see more people invade Florida from all kinds of other countries, it is going to be very crucial that we have the ability to defend ourselves down here. Just last weekend, I talked about it on our show earlier, we've been running with an issue now in Central Florida with a massive, violent Puerto Rican gang insurgency that has been coming here. And I'm not picking on Puerto Ricans. I know a lot of Puerto Ricans that are awesome. I know a bunch of the barbershop that could absolutely do incredible haircuts, anything past what I could ever do. What's happened is now with the hurricanes that happened, they've allowed pretty much open access for anybody to come here from Puerto Rico. What we have now found is there's massive gang insurgency in Puerto Rico, and there always has been. They're now moving to Florida because there's much more money, much more area, and much more things and ability to get involved in. Last weekend, a couple of my buddies were at a property called Rancho Bonito. It's an off-road park out there. That's pretty much like privately owned. You own your own lots out there, but there's really little enforcement. It's pretty much like the Wild West. You pretty much do what you want and take your own security in your own hands. They were underneath a big canopy of oak trees hanging out. It was him, one of his friends with his son, his 6-year-old son, a bunch of buddies out there. They all kind of took their kids out there. A big group of Puerto Ricans, about 20 of them, pulled up on their side-by-sides, all of which wearing bandanas and hats and masks, you know, like goggles. One of them jumped out of the side-by-side and pulled out an AR-15 that apparently, obviously, he didn't legally modify it because you can't modify a post-86 firearm. And it was filed down the Sears, so it was an automatic weapon, and unloaded a 30-round magazine right into their whole group. Luckily, only one of them was hit, one of my friends, and he actually was hit in the face, and he was blessed. It came in one side and went out the other side and actually didn't even break anything severely, only fractured part of it as they all jumped behind a bunch of oak trees. Now, the sick part about this was, after he got done dumping the first magazine, they all started screaming and yelling while they were hiding behind the trucks, and one of the guys was trying to get to his side-by-side to grab his pistol. It was completely unprovoked. They didn't even know it was coming. They were literally sitting there eating, and all these guys pulled up, and they're like, okay, what's going on? Well, then, after they were screaming and yelling and saying, we got kids over here, what the heck are you doing? The guy reloads and puts another magazine in and dumps the entire magazine. I just found this out the other day. And again, they're all jumping behind oak trees and ducking out. The whole group takes off. Obviously, my buddies call law enforcement after they return fire. Nobody else is hit. They go in and basically call law enforcement. Law enforcement comes out there, does a full basically investigation on it. They said there's probably nothing that's going to come about of this because you have actually no true identity of what they were doing. He said, we've given you got, you know, what they looked like kind of and what their side by sides were. And he said, here's the problem that we're running into. I'm giving you a heads up. He said, we're having a serious Puerto Rican gang problem. And what they're doing is they're telling these gang initiatives that are these kids that are up here in Florida now, this is what they do in Puerto Rico, that if you want to become part of the gang in Florida, you have to basically open fire on a group of individuals. Even if you don't kill anybody, you got to show us that you're willing to commit multiple violent felonies with a firearm in order for us to bring you in here. So the sheriff's department told him, and he said, we're having a huge influx to Central Florida. Then what happened was it first started in 2018 after the hurricane. They brought 100,000 Puerto Ricans in the Miami, 100,000 in Orlando, and 100,000 in the Jacksonville, which just opened the door for pretty much open access. I don't have a bit of problem people coming here legally. Don't have a problem with it, never have. But if you start coming here and you start acting like a wild hillbilly, you're going to get shot in the face down here in Florida. These guys were blessed that they basically didn't get killed by my friends, considering the fact that what happened. The problem with it was completely and totally unprovoked. And a lot of times you're not sitting there waiting with an M4 strapped around your neck while you eat lunch when you're simply riding side by side with your friends. However, now I promise you, if they go back out there, they will not be so lackadaisical if they go out to ride again. And their weapon platforms will be on their person at all times. They already told me that. This is crucial because as you start seeing more people influx to a certain area, you're going to start seeing crime go up when people don't respect the area that they're in or they're from out of town. This is why, again, I reiterate, it is so important. If you carry weapon platforms, you understand how to use them. You understand how to train with them. You understand how to handle reloads, malfunctions, accuracy, fixing problems later on if you basically have a weapon platform that goes down, and understanding this, understanding your backdrop if you do get in a gunfight, not just wildly spraying into a direction where you have no idea what you're shooting at. All these things are crucial, and it's something that is going to start happening more and more. I don't want it to. I hate the fact that I even have to have this conversation, but I've had numerous sheriffs now that I know personally in this area that are saying the violent crime in Central Florida, which used to be this place, used to have like hardly any crime over here where we live at, it is starting to tick up rapidly, and it is almost everybody that's getting involved in it is from out of state individuals that are from either different countries or from different states that are coming down here, Doug. So again, just a heads up to everybody that's coming here, be prepared that we will defend this state with direct force if you want to come down here and act like a moron and start doing stupid stuff like shooting at basically innocent people while they're eating lunch, Doug.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen as many social media posts of unprovoked violence. I watched the execution of a man in his 50s, apparently in the back of a restaurant. He was finishing work of his second job as a security guard and was executed. And the people around, there were a couple of people there. One went through his pockets after he was shot in the head and was laid dead there on the sidewalk. And another one just shook his head and walked away. We're seeing an uptick of this all over the country. So wherever you're at, please be ready. I went out the other day. I don't know what day it was, but just to run an errand. And first time in a long time, I forgot my sidearm, you know, and because I always carry it. And I felt, wow, I felt pretty vulnerable, I guess is the way to say. But my goodness, yeah. Yeah, so watch that, folks. Watch that.
Yeah, that video, you know, my condolences go to that security guard's family. That was such a useless, horrific shooting when I saw the video when it first came out. And I showed it to one of my buddies and I said, you know, this needs to be also to the a example of the footage, as horrific as it is, as sad as it is, especially for the family, of why you always have to use situational awareness when you're in a situation or where you're parking, where you're going and you're getting out of your vehicle. When you deploy out of your vehicle, I always recommend this, especially if you're out in a public area. Now, if you're at home or something like that, this isn't as big of a deal. But if you're out in a very crowded public area or a parking lot or an alleyway or something like that, when you get out of your vehicle, before you get out of your vehicle, you need to assess everybody around you. If there's people around, where they're at, where they're located, the body language. When you get out of your vehicle, you need to do a 360 scan, not looking like a paranoid, delusional moron. I don't mean that at all. So don't write letters to me about that. You ask any law enforcement or military contractors or any guys, they'll tell you the exact same thing. You assess the situation around you. If you get out of your vehicle and you see a shady individual that's walking up to you and he's postured up, you don't turn your back to him. You don't turn around and stand there with your back and walk off. You sit there and you make eye contact with him. If he looks like he's about to do something, as soon as you make eye contact with him, he's going to speed up what he's trying to do in most cases, because now he knows that he no longer has the element of surprise. At that point in time, if you have to use force, use force. If you need to use cover and use force, use cover. But make sure you're assessing situations when you're going around that, because that was a sad part of that video that made it even more horrific. That security officer, he got out of his car and he saw the guy. He looked at him briefly that was walking around the corner and then turned around and turned his back to him and just walked off and started walking. The guy walks up right behind him and shoots him in the head, blows his brains out, then goes through all of his stuff, steals all his stuff and walks off. And then the guy sitting on the sidewalk just gets up and walks off as well. They witnessed the whole thing. This is in Atlanta. And you're absolutely right. The crime is going to continue all over the country when you're seeing people become more desperate. We're seeing now that fentanyl is up like 400% being trafficked in the United States. Fentanyl is horrific. It's overtaking heroin now in the amount of sales because it's so cheap and easy to make and easier to transport because it's so strong. You're seeing the drugs in the United States are becoming so prevalent. At the same time, now you're seeing everything cost more and more and more money to be able to purchase, which means you're going to have more homelessness and more lawlessness. And this is what happens when you do a all-out throw to try to collapse a country. This is what they're doing. This wasn't by accident. The United States has been so big for so long. It's very, very resourceful. And it's very, very strong. They have to do this continually to try to break down the social fabric of society in the United States. And essentially, the only thing you can do is stay prepared for it, stay strong, stay alert, and continue to raise little Americans. Raise Americans with Christian biblical values. Continue to show them what it means to be a Christian American patriot. Show them what it means to stand up for people in need and help other people out and be a good, you know, community leader. Those things are all important because, as we've seen now, the last generation below us has become so lazy. All they want to do is talk about trying to sell NFTs and some crypto and, you know, do this and do that and be just, and most of them act like total degenerates. They have no personal development at all. And probably a lot of them made money in these markets and it's made them much, much more loser of a person. They're just rich losers now. And that's why it's important to teach your children the value of a dollar. And I'm not knocking markets or cryptocurrencies. There's a few of them out there that I've looked at that actually can be very, very lucrative and basically may actually be something that can be involved in from a Christian standpoint. I'm still just not 100% convinced on it. There's one I was looking at with a company, one that started called Philcoin. It's basically going to be like a philanthropy coin is what it stands for. So I'm not knocking that. So don't write me letters and say, oh, so you absolutely can't stand it. I'm not a big fan of cryptos. You're absolutely right. I do think that they are, though, as much as I hate it, becoming a place in society because everything started to become digital. And as much as we push to maintain cash and gold and everything else, which I still encourage people to basically support, stand up for your core value reserves that you can hold in your hand, I do think that there is going to be a push now for this digital world, and we need to hold it off as long as we can. But there also is going to have to be something that we're going to have to get into that's going to be some type of, hopefully some type of Christian-based digital currency that is based on the blockchain technology that can be protected. Because now that the Federal Reserve is talking about doing a Federal Reserve-backed crypto, that pretty much tells me that they're on board now and coming in for a great reset and either devaluing the dollar, resetting the dollar, replacing the dollar, or simply making the dollar digital. I don't know what their overall plan is going to be, but you definitely know that's going to be the direction that they're going to start to take this, Doug. What do you think?
Yep, it's going to be, regardless, it's going for control and surveillance and essentially ownership, but that's my take on it. We got about four and a half minutes left, Austin. How time flies when you're on. So you continue and close us out in the next 4.5 minutes. Whatever's on your heart, mind, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, as we continue to watch these things unfold, and what I tell a lot of people is I tell people all the time, my friends, my family, even people I meet, is that you have to have faith in Christ. That's our main faith. You also have to have a positive outlook on certain things, even though sometimes they can be negative. You always have to remember that, you know, what we're doing right now and trying to help people is one of the most effective things we can do, along with being standing up and being resistant. You can't allow yourself to get too negative and wrapped up in this because, you know, as you do as well, Doug, and I do, we do so much research. We see so much negative stuff. Sometimes you got to reframe it the best you can because you know it's there. You have to get it out there. You have to inform people, but it takes a toll on you sometimes because just what you're exposed to, what you see, what you witness, what you have to read, what you have to hear stories about on a regular basis, it's not fun. And so, but again, it's part of life and reality. So you got to take it at both angles and saying, hey, listen, we know who our hope and faith is in Jesus, but we also know we have to try to wake people up and not only get them saved, but also alert them to a lot of stuff that's going on because as sad as it is, a lot of the Christians have caught kind of abysmal, man. And I hate to say that. And they just, I talked to some of them, and that's all they want to do is say, oh, it doesn't matter. We're going to be raptured here very, very shortly. Nothing to worry about. And I'm like, okay, if you want to believe that doctrine, that's totally cool. But you also can't use it as a scapegoat that, well, I don't want to rock any boat. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to talk to anybody about anything, get anybody upset because I don't want to have any conflict. I just want to wait for the rapture. Well, that's kind of a pathetic existence too, and that's not at all what Christ called us to do. You know, Christ rocked the boat exponentially. I don't remember him walking into the temple where the money changers had unjust scales, and he walked in and he goes, hey guys, come. Could you kind of stop doing that, guys? I don't want to offend anybody, but this really isn't right. No, he flipped the tables and made a whip and started beating them out of the temple. I mean, you can't get much more aggressive than that in that timeline unless he pulled out a sword and started cutting off heads. But he couldn't kill anybody because he was Christ, I guess. That would violate the Ten Commandments. But he sure as heck had righteous anger because they were violating the laws of the temple and kicked them out. He didn't walk in there all timid and hunched over. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to get anybody upset. Absolutely not. So always remember what we stand for. We're not here to be timid little sheep to run around and not talk to anybody and not offend anybody. Sometimes the truth is going to offend people, and that's perfectly okay, especially if it's based on what you believe to know to be right. Again, I encourage everybody, continue to stand up for your convictions. If you have a conviction, that means you have to hold it strong. If it's something you know to be true, it's your requirement, it's your duty as not only a patriot, a Christian, an American, it's your duty to stand up for it and say, listen, I'm not going to give this up. I'm not going to hand over my right. I'm not going to put a muzzle on my face because you told me to wear one outside by myself while I'm walking around or when I'm going on a plane or train or automobile. I'm not going to stand 6 feet apart from somebody because you told me to. I'm not going to arbitrarily shut down my business and follow you what you say to do because you simply said follow the science. If we've learned anything out of the last 2 years, the science of what the CDC follows is about as scientific as FedEx. It's not. It's simply a business protocol with what CDC has done in order to control more people, in order to push more indoctrination and more propaganda and see how far they can get people to comply. That's what the CDC does. It's a business model from a psychological operation. It has nothing to do with safety and protection and following the science, because not one single time did the CDC talk about vitamin C, D3 levels, quercetin, zinc, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin. None of it. Not one time the CDC has ever brought that topic up or even encouraged people to take those vitamins like the vitamin C and D3 when we saw direct research and evidence that those very products, and I saw them with my own eyes, help people healthy.
Austin, you got to stop there. That's a mic drop moment. And what a great time it is. Healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. Doug 5 coupon, maybe? All right.
Weekend.
All right. Perfect, brother. Thank you so much. That'll do it for us. Have a great weekend, everyone. Have a great night.